We'll read from verse 16, Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed for ever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And to that rather sobering passage in the Word of God that does hit the nail of this issue right on the head, we pray the Lord will bless that reading and solemnize us as we come to his word. Let's briefly pray again. Heavenly Father, we are in thy hands. We thank thee for this word that came from thy hands to us. We thank thee that it is the breathed out word of the living and the eternal God, that it is profitable for rebuke and correction and instruction in righteousness, and it does make the child of God into that fully finished article, that it deals with all aspects of his life, that it tells us how to walk and how not to walk, what to do, what not to do. And we thank thee that it's right up to date and relevant unto the way in which we live today. Come, Lord, and help us out of its treasure to bring things new and to bring things that are old. Refresh our eyes, rekindle the flame of enthusiastic evangelism within our heart, and help us to tell out the wonders of the Lord, that Jesus, our Saviour, is still mighty to save. His blood still cleanses the foulest wherever it flows. Come, Lord, we pray, and even on those that campaign on the other side of this debate to ourselves, we pray that thou wilt put in motion a great saving swathe of thy power. Conquer their stubborn will, by thine omnipotent grace, and bring them to Christ, and see if this country be plain, from top to bottom, from impending disaster. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On the 29th of April 2014, the Northern Ireland Assembly, meeting in the Stormont Buildings in Belfast, turned down a motion calling for the introduction in Northern Ireland of same-sex marriage. Back then, there were 51 Assembly members who voted against the motion. Sinn Féin had brought the motion onto the table, while there were 51 against, there were 43 of the members of that Stormont body who voted in favour. 51-43. They were kind of getting used to it by that stage, because that was the third time within the space of 18 months that Stormont had voted back same-sex marriage. It means that Northern Ireland has the distinction of being the only part in all of the United Kingdom that has not yet passed a law to introduce same-sex marriage. Now you might ask, well, is that the end of the road? I mean, three attempts, three failures. Surely they'll dust themselves down, they'll walk off stage, they'll switch attention to something else, and they'll give up the campaign of trying to force gay marriage on our country. Not a chance. It was back on the floor of our Legislative Assembly today. The fourth push in recent years to beat back and down opposition to homosexual marriage in our country, I'm pleased to report it was defeated again, but by an increasingly narrow margin. That's been the story of the vote. 49-47 today, with three abstentions, all Alliance Party, who have mysteriously, if ever indeed they had one, lost sight and feeling of their backbone. It's a nasty place at this moment in time. We have Jim Wells, and a lot of vitriol has been thrown out his direction over the past number of days. And he himself has said, because he made a comment against gay marriage, he said, "I am deeply saddened that some of those who represent a different viewpoint from me have attacked my family and me in a deeply personal, nasty, and in some cases threatening way. Some of the outbursts on social media have been particularly abusive and menacing in nature." I know one of the contributors who made an outburst against Jim Wells in recent days, and I know that I've had a conversation with her. She tries to style herself as a well-balanced moderate. But here's what she said on her Facebook page. "Jim Wells is an absolute disgrace. Please resign, you vile, vile, disgusting pig." The terms of a moderate with a big smiling face. I've no enemies anywhere. Not a bit of hatred in my body. The other material is just unrepeatable. I could not quote it in this meeting, nor would I want to quote it in any other gathering. Next month, as you know, it's your turn. And you'll be voting whether or not to allow same-sex marriage here. The official Yes campaign has published a list of Irish celebrities, and they're wheeling them all out to support gay marriage. They range from Irish rugby legend Brian O'Driscoll through to Hollywood actor Colin Farrell. Even the rank and file of the Irish police, the Garda Síochána, have come out in favour in their magazine of a Yes That's rather historic, for I'm told this is the first time that Ireland's police force have wheeled in behind a partisan position on a major political controversy that is being put to the nation in the form of a referendum. If you were over in Dublin tonight, a Dublin hotel is promising its customers a 50% discount if they take down posters for this forthcoming marriage referendum, advocating on those posters, they're the ones they want, the no vote. The Charleville Lodge Hotel on the North Circular Road in, if I have got the term right, I find this so ironic and amusing. It's located in Phibsborough. Isn't that just so appropriate? Phibsborough on the North Circular Road. Who could make it up? John 8:44 springs immediately to mind. You can check that out later on, but I'm sure you'll know what it is. But they're offering this discount because of the many, they claim, new posters that are in their area. On their Facebook page they write, "Nearly every poster near Charleville Lodge Hotel, Dublin, Dublin 7, is vote no. I am not happy about this. So to clear the area of these nasty posters, I am running another special offer. If you present a vote no poster on check-in at our hotel, we will give you a 50% discount on your room rate." Yes, I said 50%. Offer applies to bookings made in person, walk-in, over the phone, or online only. P.S., they write there, "Feel free to creatively deface the poster. Draw a devil on it or something." That's what they do. That's what they're encouraging people to do. Our society is bent on changing our values to get us to reject what the Word of God says. And it doesn't come along and say, "Hold on a minute, I need to give you a caution here, warning. We're attempting to get you away from the truth of God's Word." Do you know what it does? It doesn't take on the biblical debate or the biblical argument at all. That's religion. Stay away from all of that mumbo-jumbo, they'll say. What they do is, they present a story that's all mushy emotional. Some one person or two people. And they'll take you along this smooth and soft road in this emotional story, making you feel so sorry for the people that they're spotlighting them, trying to trail you down a path to accept its conclusions without asking any critical questions. But we are going to ask and answer, I trust, some critical questions tonight. As I see it, there are three main arguments behind the campaign for gay marriage in Ireland, both north and south. One main argument brings us into the realm of biology. We're talking about designation. Don't we hear the claim coming out of every corner today? People are born gay. On the 16th of May, 2011, an anchor news reader in the CNN newsroom, Dawn Lemon, chose to reveal his long-kept secret to the world. That 45-year-old said, "I was born gay." Just 1 week later, Lady Gaga released another album, 23rd of May, 2011, entitled Born This Way, and before you knew it, 1 million plus copies in sales had been achieved, and it was instantly embraced by the homosexual movement as our gay pride anthem, Born This Way. Some of the words in that song of Lady Gaga's are these. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white or beige, cola or orient made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave. And then the chorus comes in, I'm beautiful in my way, cause God. God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. So she's saying, as is the argument today, God made us, didn't he make all of us? And he made me, they're saying, gay. So it has to be good if God is in approval. On 1st of October 2011, Joburg Pride 2011 took place in Johannesburg in South Africa, and they adopted a theme for the year, and that theme of their parade was Born This Gay. When I was doing research for this message, I came across a Facebook site which said, I was born gay, not raised gay. And the person had said here, I knew that I was born gay. I never had a choice. And even if I did, I wouldn't have it any other way. Do you know what all of this seems like? A choir. People uniting from every quarter and corner to tell us that homosexuals are what they are because they have no other alternative. Simply, we have been born this way. Now, born gay. Is this a scientific fact? Or even a biblical truth? We're going to examine that. But before we do, allow me to nail my colours firmly to the mast on this one. In response to the question, born gay? I say, no way. But I can't say that without giving you reasons to support what I say. And I'm happy to do so. Where is the proof? They're always coming at us and they're saying, we're going to put you in the spot. Come up with the answers. Hear our question. Hold on a minute. Let us put you in the spot. Where is the proof? For you insisting, we're saying to them, I was born gay. In other words, God made me this way, and there's nothing I can do about it. You've got to live with it and accept it. Where is the proof? There's certainly none in Scripture. We can be absolutely bolt on certain about this, that homosexuality has not been patented by God. It is not his design. Genesis chapter 2. Back in the beginning, God made male and female, a complementary pair. When he declared in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that the man should be alone, I will make an helpmeet for him. God did not create another man as a suitable partner for Adam. He made a woman and brought her to him. That was God's answer to Adam's felt need. Genesis 2, verse 18, verse 21 through 24. And that arrangement. Don't let anybody tell you Jesus Christ had nothing to say about proper marital relationship. He did. This arrangement in Genesis 2 was confirmed by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 19:45, Mark 10, and the verse 7 through to 8. It was certainly not God's intention that males should link up with males in relationships, and worse, our females with females. In Genesis 1:28, they came together by God's design to reproduce after their kind. That was God's first command to the human race, and homosexuals fall flat right here because they cannot do what God designed a male and a female to do. In Genesis 2:24, there was this human sexuality tied into a unit of relationship between persons of the opposite sex, husband and wife. And it was this passage our Lord Jesus Christ came back to as he preaches in Galilee, and he uses this passage in Genesis as a foundational platform on which he teaches about proper marriage. Matthew 19:4-5 and Mark 10:7-8. Now just consider this as a kind of an off-the-cuff remark, but a very obvious, blatant one. If God, in his original creation of human beings, had made two persons of the same sex, there would not be a human race in existence today. You, I, and anybody else, we would not be here. The whole idea of two persons of the same sex marrying is, at the very least, both abnormal and absurd. You see, homosexuality turns God's order on its head. And that's what Paul draws attention to in Romans 1:26-27. Even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, lust, one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly. It's very obvious from all of these scriptures, homosexuality is not God's gift. According to the Bible, no matter how we read it, the conclusion is inescapable. Homosexuality is perverse. God has much to say in scripture about sodomy. And from start to finish, there's no fudging of the issue. The message is unmistakable. Homosexuality is unnatural and depraved. Romans 1:25-28. It's an abomination to God. Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus 20 and the verse 13. Not only that, it's a sin that closes the door of heaven to those who practice it. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9-10. It has as well the seeds of destruction within itself. And it's certain to attract the divine judgment. It did in Genesis 19. It's promised in Romans 1:27-32. And also it's reminded what happened back in Genesis 19 in the book of Jude in the verse 7. The only way that you can come along as a homosexual person, open up the Bible and ignore the consistent witness of the Bible against that sin that you're committing, is to either dismiss or rewrite the Bible. Or do what famous actor of Lord of the Rings fame, Gandalf, the character, Ian McKellen does, apparently. This is what he claims himself that he does. When he goes into a hotel, he gets down there, looks out the Gideon Bible out of the drawer, and when he gets the Gideon Bible out, if it's got the Old Testament, right into Leviticus and rips out the offending passage as he sees it against his sin of homosexuality. Now, he'd need to rip out an awful lot more than Leviticus if he's going to silence the voice of God through his word against that sin that he is committing. There's no support for the propaganda piece that people are born gay when you turn to the Bible. Not only is there none in scripture, there is none in science. You serious? I mean, that's the response you'll get when you say that outside. No gay gene? What do you mean, you know nothing? The gay gene theory has been deliberately and deceitfully used for years now by homosexual activists. And they use it to deny choice. They use it to make it appear homosexuals cannot help it. They use it to argue that if you're coming in with any criticism of our gay lifestyle, well, that's as silly as you criticising someone for being left-handed or red-haired. It's genetic, they say. And being genetic, it's unchangeable. Do you know what? There's no evidence in science that stacks up to prove it is genetic. And none of the scientific research actually claims there is. Now the press do. Certain researchers do when they're speaking in selected sound bites for the benefit of the public. And they hope you won't start digging and find out with a little bit of your own research, there is no scientific evidence for this thought of being born gay. There is no gay gene. never been detected. And I tell you, they have been determined in their efforts to find it. They have studied out, and Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council points out to studies that homosexuals themselves have undertaken. So they're coming with an agenda, with a bias. But studies they themselves have undertaken with twins, identical twins. Well, what would you expect if it's genetic? And people are born gay and you've got identical twins? Well, the theory of genetic determination of homosexuality would argue if one twin is gay, the other has to be gay. No negotiation. The concordance rate should be 100%, but it's not. In fact, they're nearly pulling their hair out because it's so far off being 100%. Michael Bailey conducted a study in a large sample of Australian identical twins and discovered, to his huge disappointment, concordance rate wasn't 100%, 99%, 95%, 90%. It was 11%. Peter Behrman, Hannah Bruckner, researchers out of Columbia and Yale respectively, looked at other data from the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, and they find concordance rates not of 11%, but in males of 6.7%, and in females 5.3%, when they were studying identical twins. Sprigg observes, if it was not clear in the 1990s, it certainly is now. No one is born gay. A publication from the American Psychological Association includes an admission: there is no gay gene. One of the writers, Dean Bird, has said this: it is clear that efforts to prove that homosexuality is simply a biological fait accompli have failed. The activist researchers themselves, he goes on to say, have reluctantly reached that conclusion. There is no gay gene. There is no simple biological pathway to homosexuality. So if they say, born that way, can't be any other way because I've got the gay gene, they're deceiving themselves. There is no such thing. And what we should underline at this point is, even the homosexuals and some of the strongest, most potent activists they have, who are standing up and shouting from the housetops trying to bring added rights and more rights to their cause, even they knew the truth on this issue. In a rather astonishing column published in the left-wing publication The Atlantic, we had an openly queer woman. That's not my insult, that's her words. Lindsay Miller. She says, in direct opposition to both the mainstream gay movement and Lady Gaga, I would like to state for the record that I was not born this way. Concluding her piece, she writes, the life I have now, as a lesbian, is not something I ended up with because I had no other options. Make no mistake, it's a life I chose. And all that Stephen Nolan was trying to introduce into the debate up north today was, is it a lifestyle choice? I've sent questions out to people in the DUP asking three questions. One of them, is it a lifestyle choice? Well, here's your answer, Stephen Nolan. From an openly queer woman, make no mistake, it's a life I chose. Does that sound like a lifestyle choice? That's exactly what she's saying it is. And the character on screen is Peter Tatchell. While no one is a LGBT activist in the United Kingdom, he wrote an article entitled Homosexuality, It Isn't Natural, and he says, ignore these researchers who claim to have discovered a gay gene. Gay desire is not genetically determined. Oh, looks like we're going to have to change track here. So how do people become gay? Many scientists share the view that sexual orientation for most people is shaped at an early age, they will say, and there are complex interactions of biological, psychological, social factors all involved. There is some truth in that. I'm not saying that education and environment play no part, but what I am saying is the greater part is played by experimentation. Ultimately, it's a matter of choice. A foolish choice. A rebellious choice. A sinful choice. The Bible says it's a corrupt choice. And Romans 1, we'll not go through all of the detail again, we've read it tonight, and you can check it through, but it highlights in Romans 1 the choice that people are making. Exit God. Get out of our lives. Take your truth with you. Take the Bible, we don't want that. And God says, okay, if that's the way you want it, I'll give you up. And they're given over to these vile affections. Biology, designation. Let's move on. The second issue they bring up as their argument is equality or discrimination. We have a character, and he's always on television up north, always on the Nolan Show. Whenever I was up in Londonderry then, he was representing an organisation that always was talking on these issues. The Rainbow Project is the organisation. The character now that's the lead spokesman is John O'Doherty, and he says, marriage is a fundamental human right, which is now recognised in the UK as including same-sex couples. We will work to ensure that this right is realised for everyone in the United Kingdom, and we are confident that marriage equality will be achieved in Northern Ireland. Well, that's what they were trying again to do today. That's what they'll be trying to do here on the 22nd of May. But is it, and these are your posters that you see in your communities now, is it a matter of equality? You'll be reading articles in newspapers and all the rest and hearing debates on television and radio and what as to why gays and lesbians should be allowed to get married, and they'll tell you nearly all the time of this couple who've been waiting in the wings for 30 years, 40 years. Oh, sad case, wanting to be married. But your belligerence and your voting against them is discriminating against them and robbing them of their human rights. And by the end of the articles and the interview, some people are tempted to say, what's the big deal? Live and let live, just let them marry. I mean, he's waited 40 years for it. By the way, even the European Court of Human Rights ruled in 2012 that gay marriage is not a human right. Gay marriage is not a human right. They upheld the traditional institution of marriage, as in, this is as far as he went, it's a valid state interest. They endorse the view that relations between people of same sex are not identical to marriage between a man and a woman, and could, by any of its states, be treated differently in law. Now, if all gays wanted was equality and an extra human right to all the other human rights they've been campaigning for and have achieved, that would be one thing. But this is not what the gay movement wants. What they actually want is an endorsement or approval of their behaviour and a punishment upon anyone who refuses to agree with them. They want to cut off, for example, all funding to the Boy Scouts because they didn't approve of their homosexual lifestyle and don't have Boy Scout leaders who were gay. They want all of our schools to teach that their behaviour is acceptable by putting in all of their books pictures of two mommies and two daddies, and so when the parents tell their children, this is wrong. Oh, look at the book. You're the one, Daddy, who's sinful and who's unloving. They label people who oppose them, as Martin McGuinness did today, as homophobic and bigoted. And I'll tell you something. There is something really galling and hypocritical when somebody with an IRA background in terrorism loudly dismisses anybody else as being a bigot. We agree. Much as he doesn't like us agreeing, we agree with the Word of God as being a truth that does not change. But they want to end my freedom and your freedom to believe and to teach the Word of God. I repeat, gay marriage is not the end game. This does not stop on May the 22nd. The silence and punishment of everyone who dares oppose homosexuality on religious grounds, moral grounds, whatever grounds, that's their goal, punish and silence. Let me give some examples quickly in passing. A Methodist retreat centre refused to allow two lesbian couples to use a campground pavilion for a civil union ceremony, and the state of New Jersey waded in and punished those Methodists by revoking their tax-exempt status. In Massachusetts, judges imposed gay marriage a number of years ago. Catholic charities were ordered to accept homosexual candidates as couples together that would be good to adopt some of their children. And some of them have closed, if not all of them. In California, public schools were told you must be gay friendly. And it won't stop with public schools. This is coming to private schools, is it? It is coming to private schools. It went up over the border into Quebec in Canada. And the government there told a Mennonite school, a private school, you must conform to the provincial law regarding the curriculum, a curriculum that teaches children that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle. You must conform. How long before what is happening in Canada goes right through the US, goes right through the UK, comes right through Ireland, as the governments go after public schools and private schools too. Even speaking out against homosexuality is enough to get you fired. Did Jim Wells find that out or not? Crystal Dixon, an associate vice president of the University of Toledo, was fired after writing an opinion piece in the Toledo, listen to this, Toledo Free Press. Yeah. How free was that? She lost her job when she wrote the article. It was in support of traditional marriage. One fact is blatantly obvious. Those who are promoting same-sex marriage are going out of their way to target Christian businesses, Christian churches, and in that, the mask is slipping and the lid is off. And over there on Wimp and Whimper Street, Nick Clegg, who's been using those phrases in another context, should be listening in. The mask is off. We know what they're at. Their goal is not just to pursue the right to marry, but punish everybody who disagrees with that. Asher's Bakery in Northern Ireland, one case in point, pulled through the courts. Beulah Print and Design in Drogheda, County Louth, another case in point, And if those two cases raise an eyebrow or two, what about this one? Bradley Fowler, a homosexual from Michigan, claims that the Zondervan Publishing Company and the Thomas Nelson Publishing Company have violated his rights by distributing Bibles that use the word homosexuals. Our King James Version doesn't, but the New King James Version that he was taking issue with does in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. And he says, "Myself and other homosexuals have suffered verbal abuse, discrimination, episodes of hate, physical violence, including murder, because of this particular translation. And since he's saying my constitutional rights have been violated by this Bible," he tried to sue the two companies for a combined total of $70 million. It was thrown out, thankfully. But you can see where we're going. Homosexuality is the sacred cow that cannot be touched, cannot be criticised without negative ramifications. And this highlights where the battle really is against the Bible. A spiritual battle is raging. Do we stand with God and his word, or do we capitulate and give in to the legions who are against the word of God? Now, it hasn't taken God by surprise. He's not on the back foot here. Away in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 4, he talked about this happening in perilous times. Sexual immorality would be one of those leading marks. And it is of the day in which we live. Revelation, writing to the churches in the early chapters, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Two of those seven churches in Revelation were dealing with approval of sexual immorality. And our study tonight in Romans 1 verse 18 through to 32 as well. We're at our last point. Not only biology, designation, or equality, discrimination, but a third argument is about intimacy, devotion. There are people today who say, yeah, the Bible does speak against homosexual behavior. Can't argue against that. But it's talking about people who were going from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship onto another relationship, multiple partners, living wild. They say it does not cover the situation of two people, what we are arguing for, who are committed to each other and who love each other. Now, if we go down that line and start arguing along the train of the logic of love, do you know what you could say? You could say the same thing about adultery. Just think it out. If I left my wife and someone else left their husband, we moved to North America and were fully committed to each other and even started a church, at what point would our behavior stop being adultery and become acceptable to God? At no point. Because God determined that adultery was not his plan for humanity. He labeled it sin. And in Exodus 20:14, he says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." In Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers, what's that? By definition, male prostitute. Or a man who indulges in unlawful sexual intercourse. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The way I feel in my heart, the way the homosexual might feel in his heart, is not the issue. The peace of conscience I might have about my sin is not the issue. The issue is, does the word of God endorse or outlaw my behaviour? You'll want to hear this story, even though I'm going well over time. Pastor Rick Gillespie Mobley, black pastor from Cleveland, Ohio, speaks of an occasion when he turned on the TV, some channel over there, BET, and there was this beautiful, he says, little black girl, 12 years of age, roundabouts, sitting with her father in a restaurant. And he was muscular, Wavy black hair, attractive man. But there was obviously something troubling that little girl from the way that she was eating her food. She was spending the weekend with her father, it turned out, because her parents were either divorced or separated. She finally looks at her father and asks him, "Is it true that you sleep with other men?" Her father says, "I'm going to be honest with you, yes I do. Do you have a problem with that?" The little girl says, "Well, I don't know. Some people say it's wrong." He says, I know some people think like that, but I feel that the only thing that is sin is turning your back on someone you truly love. Can you accept me knowing this?" he asked. That 12-year-old girl said, "Yes, I can, because some people wanted me to stop loving my mother because she was a dope addict. I still love you. Are you going to come out of the closet?" He replied, "I've never been in the closet. I marched in the civil rights marches. I'm not marching in gay pride parades, however, because that's for your generation to doom. I, however, want to keep my behaviour private from others." And then they switch to a scene in which he takes her to her mum. And the mum in the advert is totally spaced out on drugs. The mother's leaving the house to go along with a group of fellow junkies. Her hair's wild, her eyeballs are poking out, her speech is nonsensical. The father's very calm and compassionate about covering up for the mother. And he's made to look like his daughter's hero. The father then takes that little 12-year-old girl back to his house to be with him and his male friend. What we are being told in that brief scene is this. First, there is no sin in the behaviour of two men doing what they do, Romans 1, as long as they love each other. Sin is defined as not loving someone who loves you. That's what we are being told today. Second, that people who say homosexual behavior is wrong are telling you not to love people who are homosexual. Hate them, in other words. Third, to love the homosexual, you must approve of their behavior. Fourth, the only ones who care are her father and his partner. A fifth piece of teaching coming out of the ad: two parents are the same, doesn't matter if they're married or male, female, or male. And another one: if you disagree, you're wrong. That's what you're being told today, all over the media. If you disagree, you're wrong. It doesn't really matter what they say. What does God say? What's his verdict? For those homosexuals who say it's a loving relationship, don't and how can you stop us sharing our love one for the other? What they describe as a legitimate expression of love, God describes as burning in lust. Romans 1:24, Romans 1:27, as giving themselves over to fornication, that is a lust that gluts itself, or going after strange flesh. Jude verse 7, God describes it as an indulgence in vile affections. Romans 1:26. Therefore, how should we vote against gay marriage? Of course. Of greater importance is how should I act? Don't compromise on sin. Remind yourself, homosexuality is particularly destructive. It's a guilty practice. It leads to a gruesome end. The Bible emphasizes the sin of homosexuality is not without consequences. Because in Romans 1:27 we're told, and receiving, here's payback for the perversion, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. It's obviously a destructive lifestyle choice because they have, and science bears it out, a lower life expectancy. They have higher mental health problems, higher suicide rates. There's a ban in the UK and the US and in other countries, many other countries, on male homosexuals becoming blood donors. It's not a lifestyle. It's a death style. And I'll tell you, From speaking to people caught up in it, there is no mercy there. They're miserable, they're brutal, they're savage. And they're disputing all the way through God's word. So we need to strike a balance. And we face a tough challenge in dealing with homosexuals and their homosexuality. The balance has to be struck between don't compromise on sin and do have compassion on the sinner. And we're talking Jude 21-23, keep yourselves in the love of God. And when you are surrounded by the love of God and your heart is aflame with love to the Christ of Calvary, then when that love is ignited in your heart and stoked up, that love will propel you out for the rescue and redemption of the soul that is ready to perish. And if some, we are told in Jude, have compassion, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:11-20, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. One of our most famous commentators, Matthew Henry, said, treat them with all tenderness. Show compassion. People are not born gay, but thank God they can be born again. And on YouTube, check it out. There are many testimonies of those who have come through this darkness into the light of grace. One person, converted homosexual, has said in response to one of the testimonies, amen, I thought I was born gay also. God's truth, though, cuts through all the lies of the world. Thank you for sharing, and I praise God for your life. I know you're the happiest now that you've ever been. I know I am. And when I read in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, I am encouraged to note, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The gospel is the answer. This is not, though it is a terrible and in many ways a unique sin, it's not the unpardonable sin. God can and he does save, and we need to strive in all the information and in all of our stand to strike the balance. And may God bless our efforts as we reach out to poor, perishing sinners in his name and for his glory. Thank you.